Okay. Can you tell me the general outlines of your life leading up to 1950? For instance, where you were born and where you lived?
Okay, I was born in Portland. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Gresham, really where I was brought up for most of my young life.
Yeah.
Went to school there in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lived on a dairy farm, mm-hmm. 180 acres out there.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's just one big subdivision. It's right next to Mount Hood mm-hmm. College now.
Okay, I'm going to check. What was your general situation in 1950 through 1953? For instance, your school, family, or work?
Okay, and I started Beaverton High School in mm-hmm. 1939.
Okay.
And we had a dairy farm down there and right across from the little high school now. And in 1950, I was married 3 years. And I had, by 1951, we had 4 children. And we still had a dairy, and we retailed milk into Washington County. We had over 2,000 customers. It was retail. We delivered every day.
Mm-hmm.
We had 9 routes, and that went in all the way to Glen Cullen, the other side of Beaverton, and included Forestboro, Hillsboro, Loa, and Beaverton area. And at that time, there was very little housing up on Cooper Mountain
mm-hmm.
or the little high school over
yeah.
there across the street from it. And it was right on 185th, and we had milk cows there and farmed quite a bit of that area.
In general, what was the Hillsboro community like in the 1950s?
Okay, and then from Hillsboro, the school district went up to Reedville at that time,
yeah.
And it had one high school, which is the Thomas Junior
yeah.
High now, and they had probably 750, 800 children. The home where I'm at right now was where the historical museum was, Washington County Historical Museum.
Oh,
yeah. And
this home, or
this right next door.
Oh, okay.
This,
sorry.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, and this one had a house that was built
mm-hmm.
in 1915, and the house where the historical museum is, the first mm-hmm. part of that building was built in 1890. So. And Hillsboro had, at that time, I'm more familiar with a lot of farming. We used to have about 10,000 acres of strawberries.
Mm.
And most of that ground now is either a lot of subdivisions on it.
Yeah.
We had, on one road in Hornicker Road, there was 9 dairies. And now there are none, to show what the farming was like then.
Yeah.
There was very, very few buildings from Hillsboro to Aloha. It was, it has been grown up so immensely since
yeah,
50. The philosophy was different. We knew about everybody in town in 1950, yet a lot of us did anyway.
Yeah.
And what else happened? Let's see. Out North Plains Road, we had no Glencoe High School
yeah.
yet, you know. And I think in 19, that was when we didn't have even Hillsboro High School, where it is now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what else?
What was one event that stands out in your mind about the early 50s?
Well, it has to be population growth.
Yeah.
And roads. Population growth, when I first moved in here in 39, we only had 34,000 in the county. Now we have 400,000.
Yeah.
So you can see what difference that made.
What was your attitude toward the government in those days?
Very patriotic. we did not use it as a crutch. We wanted to be more independent. And people now, it seems like we're getting more socialistic, and we want government to be our big daddy. And a lot of us older people would kind of resent that. We want to take care of ourselves.
Did you think most people shared the same view as you?
In my age bracket, yes, definitely.
Did you think it was important for the U.S. to stop the spread of communism everywhere in the world?
What was about communism? What was that?
Did you think it was important for the U.S. to stop the spread of communism?
Well, I think it was our bringing up, our dedication to our family, values meant so much in those days. We thought more like today the teachers are not held up in a highest esteem that we used to hold them. They seem to be just a tool for the younger generation. And they are not, they don't give the teacher, the government doesn't give the teacher enough leeway to discipline, to give them, preach them the good things of values of life. And our dedication to our country, it meant a lot to us in those days.
Were there any positive aspects of the Cold War?
The Cold War? Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Anything good that came from the Cold War?
That
I guess
what?
Positive aspects.
Positive aspects about the Cold War?
Are there any?
Now, what do you mean by the Cold War? Well, the Cold War, you're talking about Vietnam and all that, is. It's a funny thing, but I was drafted on a farm during the Second World War, and all my cousins went to in the service, but I had was drafted home to do farm work. But they all went into the service, but I didn't. I was the only cousin that didn't, and they all were very patriotic that way. But when it came to the Cold War, none of their children got into that war. But my family, I had both my boys. One was in the Marine Corps and one was in the Army. And so they resented it, more or less. But they still were patriotic kids. To me, it was a terrible thing to have to happen. And I think those people should have taken care of themselves some way. We shouldn't have been intervening like that. That was not thought out real well. And I blame the president for getting us into that mess.
Yeah. Do you recall any patriotic observances from those times?
Say that again.
Do you recall patriotic observances from those times? Like 4th of July, Memorial Day?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
What did communism mean to you in those days?
Communism, to me, and I think my generation, was a way of a good life for a lot of people. Like China, I don't know where they'd be now if they were under a democracy. I think probably communism is better for them. And in certain places, I think communism is better. But I don't think it's the right thing, because there's not much freedom. But yet it keeps people busy. And when you keep people busy, you keep them halfway under control, and you don't have the bad outbreaks.
Were you fearful of communism at the time?
No. We always knew we had a definite power over them, and that we were a strong nation, and that we're getting to be a weak nation, because I think the way that our government is right today, or our administration, kind of poo-poos it, and that's not right.
Yeah. Did you share the view that known communists should be arrested or deported?
Known communists? I would think very heavily about doing it, because if they're not satisfied here and they want to change our freedom, let them go to a communist nation and try it out and see how they like it.
Yeah.
You bet.
Did you think that communism was a threat to our local area?
No. No, we had, I'm very much against communism, and I'm sure our area is too.
Yeah. Were you aware of Senator Joseph McCarthy and what we now call the Red Scare? Were you aware of it during the time?
Oh, yes. I mean, there was a lot of scuttlebutt about it. But way out here in Oregon, we didn't pay much attention to it.
Yeah. So your feelings toward these events, you didn't care much about them?
No.
Okay. Were you aware of anyone being asked to take loyalty oaths? Loyalty oaths, sorry.
Well, conscious of it?
Yeah, did you know?
Yes, they
anybody?
Had some of that going through, yeah. But I was a farm boy, and I. that's kind of a silly thing to do, really.
Yeah. Did you fear a nuclear attack or nuclear war might really happen?
That what?
A nuclear attack or nuclear war?
When? Now?
No, back then. Did you fear that it would happen?
No.
Okay. Did you think the Portland area was a strategic target for, like, nuclear?
I think the dams would have been more of a target than the city of Portland.
Yeah. Were you aware of the civil defense efforts in the area?
I helped it.
Oh, you did? What did you do?
Well, in the old, I was on the top of the grandstand. They had to build a shed up there, and we'd go up there, and I had a night watch.
Oh, you did.
And everybody took a turn at running that night watch.
Yeah.
They had a phone and everything else, and it told
you
what to do in case you saw some airplane that wasn't right.
Can you describe what that was like?
Well, it was in lonesome places there by yourself, and you had binoculars and a heater and not even a pillow to sit on, but it was you had a chair there and a little desk.
Is this the Skywatch Tower that
was? Yes, the top of the grandstand, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember any bomb drills or bomb shelters?
No.
Any of this?
No, we didn't have anything. I remember we had, on the dairy barns, we had to cover all the windows because they didn't want any light showing.
Uh-huh.
So you covered all your house windows and all your barn windows and whatever.
Did you know any plans or routes for evacuation in case there was a nuclear war?
Well, back then we didn't have that many people to worry about too much about evacuation. Go hide behind a tree if you wanted to.
Yeah.
No, in Portland they did have something kind of prepared. But the highways were just nothing back then.
Yeah.
No, we're talking before, during the Second World War. Now in the Vietnam War, that's not much was even thought about then.
Yeah.
Anybody attacking us.
I'm just curious too, as how big was the observation tower? Was it
It was about 5 feet, like 5 feet or 6 feet by 6 feet.
Really?
And you had to climb a ladder to get to it.
And just one person stayed there a night?
One person stayed there, yeah.
Just looked up in the sky.
More or less, when you're there, you couldn't listen to radio or nothing. You just sat there. And you just listened to airplanes and just look around. It was very boring.
What would you do if you saw an airplane or?
Well, we had a number. We had a telephone. Mm-hmm. And we called that number. It was kind of like a 911.
Mm-hmm.
And we reported it in. I did a couple times in a month or so that I helped run it. It wasn't an everyday deal. They called when they needed you.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever afraid that when you're in the tower that you'd see something?
No.
Okay. To what extent were you aware of what was happening in the Korean War?
In the Korean War,
yeah.
What was happening?
Yeah.
That was a terrible thing. Truman was running that more or less than MacArthur. And there wouldn't have been a split country now if they would have stopped at the border and Truman wouldn't have had them retreat down to Seoul. We lost so many men there, but that the Chinese were kind of getting involved in, and that's what I don't know what it was. It was something with haywire there.
Yeah.
Because we should have had, we had it all the way to the Chinese border was our the territory.
So you're pretty well aware of what was going on.
Oh, definitely. We followed that. That was a big thing going on then.
Yeah. Did you know anyone who fought?
Gosh, I know I do, but I can't put my hand on it. There was a lot of people from this area.
So what were your personal feelings about the war, besides what you...
Well, any war is terrible.
Yeah.
Seems like a good...
Word for it.
I think a good president has a lot to do with it. A fellow that's halfway intelligent and knows what war's all about and has taken a training. I know Clinton's not one of those.
No.
Yeah, they need a good, strong person.
Did you see any impact of the war in our local community, like blood drives or drafts?
Oh yeah, our Kiwanis Club puts on a blood drive on the 185th once a month. Mm-hmm. And we all try to get blood.
So there were blood drives going on during that time before the war?
Oh, yes, definitely. But most of the time, they didn't have it out in the community like they have now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you had to drive all the way to Portland and have it taken to one of the hospitals.
Yeah. Do you know of a lot of people that were drafted, or was there a lot of drafts?
Oh, yeah. There was, you mean during that Korean War?
The Korean War, yeah.
Not too many, because it was mostly the kids, you know, from
mm-hmm.
not my generation.
Was there an effect on prices or goods due to the Korean War? Did it have an effect on the pricing of things?
The what?
The pricing.
Pricing of things?
Yeah, or the availability.
No, it didn't seem to make that difference. Most of it was war materials, you know, and gasoline and everything didn't seem to make much difference.
Do you remember any patriotic displays or events with the Korean War?
Patriotic what?
Displays or events concerning the Korean War.
Oh, patriotic. No, we didn't sell bonds really much then. I can't remember anything really.
Yeah.
Well, they used to put on some of the Bob Hope and that type thing,
mm-hmm.
that we were very much aware of that. But as far as having drives for selling bonds, that was only a Second World War event,
so
not the Korean War. No.
So it was a real strong patriotism.
Not really, no.
How would you compare the home front in World War II to the home front during the Korean War?
Oh, totally different. The World War II, everybody wanted to get into it. I was mad at the government that I couldn't get into it. That they said they needed somebody to grow food for the soldiers and the people, and so we had to accept it. And we had training, and even in high school, I went to Beaverton High School then, and we had our own little corps, and they came out once a week and did that. We had during the Second World War, we had material drives where we brought in all the old plows and discs, anything that was metal. Why they would melt that up and make it into war machinery, but they didn't do that during the Korean War at all.
So it was kind of lessened.
Oh yeah, it was just, it was such a smaller war. There was not,
mm-hmm.
that need.
But everyone was like well informed about it. And
oh yeah. Oh, we would go to a show, and the first thing they would have on all the shows would be a newsreel, and people would go. And at some places, we just had a show that had newsreels all day long.
And about the war, you mean?
About the war. Wow. And had pictures of the war, and then we do that. But they would have a lots of war pictures to make us more patriotic, you know, and showing us what's happening to the boys. And then they would, in the papers, they would say there would be 5,000 killed and so forth. And you only, I never saw anybody that was not patriotic, really.
Yeah.
But the Korean War, that was, we never felt it as much for some reason. Well, it wasn't as big a war, that's what it was, and that didn't draw that many more kids out of our area.
Yeah, so like when the drafts came, no one really wanted to go?
No, everybody felt if their time come, their time came, and there wasn't any way they could get out of it, really.
But they weren't as excited about it?
No, they weren't that excited about going in the Korean War and all, but the other war, they were more excited, and they would join. They felt it was more, I don't know, they felt different. My generation felt different about their patriotism than they did from the Korean War and then the Vietnam War. And our youth has, I think it's because of the values that we kids today don't have that we had.
How were veterans received when they returned, you know?
In which war?
The Korean War.
The Korean War, not as much. But during the Second World War, it was
like
a tremendous
party.
Thing. Yeah, they had a, and that was probably the same, but there wasn't that many that came. You know, like in Portland, they never used our port to bring soldiers back. It was more or less Seattle, so I wasn't conscious of where most of them came. In the Frisco and so forth, they did make a pretty good thing about it, but Portland not. There was nothing coming in here, ships.
In what ways did the polio epidemic affect our area?
In what area?
In just our local area. In what ways?
The Korean?
The polio. Polio epidemic.
Oh, polio?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that...
Kind of off subject, but...
Yeah, well, we had... polio was very much... In fact, one of my old girlfriends got polio. And we had these iron lungs, and we had... We would go to hospitals and learn how to run those things by hand. They had a pump on them. And if electricity went out, we had a way that we would pump those things by hand to keep those people alive. And it was a devastating thing. Polio was just almost like we think of cancer today. Yeah.
So it was very common?
It wasn't common, but it happened to the... active people, it seemed like.
Yeah.
I know one of our fellows in our Kiwanis Club had polio, and also one of our Yale leaders in high school got polio, and they're not over it, but they still have the scars of it, and it's just terrible.
Yeah. What did people do for entertainment in the early 50s?
In the early 50s?
Yeah.
Well, we were still dancing the regular way. we had dance halls.
Yeah.
And we had the Palais Royal and Neighbors of Woodcraft and McElroy's in Portland and Jansen Beach. And it was wonderful. And today I see it coming back a little bit with the youth.
Dancing, you
mean? Yeah, but it... dancing was one way to get to know your girl.
I bet.
Yeah.
Was there much with movies or back then? Or
the movies?
Yeah. Other entertainment?
Even going to movies and so forth?
Yeah.
Movies were a big part of our lives, but then you got to remember television started then.
Yeah.
And that was a little before the 50s, and We never couldn't afford a television set then. They were $300-$400, and that was a lot of money. And so we would go to our neighbors or our friend's house or something. And I remember the first time I saw it, why my buddy called it up and invited us up, and they said, "Come on, Schiller, you can see the guys floating down in the parachutes and everything." And it was fascinating.
Yeah. Do you know if there's much on the Korean War, Cold War on TV?
No, not really. They did show things like that for some reason.
Or did they speak about communism a lot?
It was blown around communism, but didn't seem like we were worried that much about it. They didn't have the free speech back then as they do now. Now people are coming out like the homosexual thing and so forth. Mm-hmm. This generation doesn't think that much about it.
What do you think is the most significant difference between the early 50s and our times now?
Well, I think that's totally the administration. I think the administration kind of poo-poo's defense.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. And I see now that Clinton is thinking of giving information technology that we have to these other countries. Mm-hmm. And that is terrible. We can't let that happen.
Yeah.
I think Bush is down the right track. I'm just kind of telling you what I'm thinking about, but a man that has been a draft dodger doesn't have any of that instinct that a guy that's went to West Point or been in the service or that are affiliated with those people. And we should have a good defense.
What media did you rely on for information in the early 50s?
What information?
Yeah, what media, what type of media did you rely on?
We would try to, in our Kiwanis Club and your service organizations, we have programs where people give us information that we feel is more truthful than we can read between the lines and on newspapers or radio and television. And so that is why I belong to the chamber, and I go to their meetings, and I'm informed with people, my legislators and my congressmen, mm-hmm. and I go to their meetings and get information that comes back more truthful.
So in the early 50s, did you have this? Or?
Definitely. Those people were very independent thinkers back then. And I'm not saying they aren't today, but we seem to trust them a lot more than we do today, because they can be swayed more people because of the almighty dollar.
So most of your media information you got from this group, like in the 50s?
Yeah, and just
radio
around.
Or newspapers.
Well, you only can take that. That's one person's opinion.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
But if you can get down to the source of somebody that is working in a committee that...
it's more reliable.
Yeah, then you know what's going on. That's why it's good to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to be involved in their government work.
Yeah. Okay, we're kind of off subject again, but how did you get chosen to watch the Skywatch thing?
How would you what?
How are you? Were you picked to watch over the Sky Tower, or did you volunteer?
That was totally volunteer. Here I was a farmer. I didn't have time to do that. I milk cows.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured it was one of my duties to do those things.
Is that how?
Patriotic duty. And I was, I think that's one of the things in life that I'm picked for, is that I belong to the Kiwanis Club for over 50 years, and I figured that I was put on this earth to help my community and my society.
Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to tell me about that I haven't asked?
It's just a tremendous... This county has grown so much that I would like to see the livability given more attention. I think we're losing that because we're getting rid of so many of the beautiful farms that we have here. And that bothers me. Agriculture is a $300 million business here. And here we had all these beautiful dairies, we had all the beautiful farm ground, we now we're not, we had 10,000 acres of strawberries, now we have less than five, we have about 3,000. Hillsborough was built by the farmers. This was farming community, and they all made their money from those farmers. Mm-hmm. And now we have, those farmers have no place to go. There's no way they can make it. We have my farm yet, over 100 acres, and it's, we can't even get across the highway to farm our ground. And so what are people going to do for food? This is what bothers me. And the American farmer is the best farmer in the world. We can't be compared. And yet we're getting rid of him. And someday, it's going to be terribly important that we have these experienced people to raise food for us. Especially, they're getting a lot of people who want to be vegetarian, and there's no place to raise vegetables.
Yeah, exactly.
No. It takes good ground to raise vegetables, and you're taking it all up in Washington County, especially in this area, in the Hillsborough area.
Yeah, a lot of houses. And
well, yeah, that's some of that's built on the beautifulest ground there is, especially up by North Plains and all that area.
Yeah,
even out here at Dawson Creek, that was just beautiful farm ground.
There's like buildings and hotels.
Right,
All right, thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.